Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside CTM Baseball's Matt Modica and the all-in beast, Jake Seeley. I am Greg Sussman. Matty Mo, what's going on?
It's hot out there. That's what's going on.
It's hot out there. It's hot in here.
Yeah, it is hot in here, too. A little too hot for food. I want the Jamba Juice today.
I want the Jamba Juice. You know what? That sounds really good. On the walk home, I may get some Jamba Juice. I like your headset.
I do though. Recommend.
I could definitely use that today. Jakey, you a Jamba Juice guy?
No, we don't even have those down here. But smoothie guy? No, not really.
No, not a smoothie guy? All right. I don't know.
I could do one. I mean, it's not something like, oh, I got to go get one, though.
Right. You know, just Matt saying that, I was like, I could use a nice Jamba Juice right now.
I am frustrated with the heat. This is the first day where I went to get lunch, and just walking to and from the car, you start to get that little bit of sweat going.
Sure.
And that's annoying.
You know, it's crazy. So last night, I barbecued at my friend's. I was like, oh, this is great. I spent outside, eat dinner, and then we got home. I'm like, it's hot in here. And I was worried, and then Judy's like, gotta open the windows. And Judy's like, let's turn on the air. And I'm like, wait a minute, the air's back, because my building's all controlled, whatever, the air's back. So I put it on, put it at 66, and I just sat there like this. And Judy started singing The Circle of Life, and it was great. Like, I was in heaven.
I'm all for that.
I know you are.
Year-round in my humble abode.
For me.
I'm not all for the barbecuing. You cook, you grilled, or you cooked out, you didn't barbecue.
Wait, what?
Yes,
I'm
that
like
guy.
Texas
you didn't barbecue.
Barbecue
is not barbecuing unless you're actually doing barbecue. You either cook out or you grill. You're not barbecuing.
I grilled on a barbecue.
Thank you.
Jake is a stickler, if not nothing at all.
That's for sure. So I grilled on a barbecue. And
you didn't grill on a barbecue.
Well, the thing's called a barbecue. Like,
well,
I don't know.
It's improperly named.
God. So anyway, I was like, literally, I woke up like multiple times through the night, and I go, wow, I am so comfortable right now. And I was happy to wake up because I was in the air, and it was great.
What temperature does it have to be in your house for you to turn the AC on?
So the thing is, in my building, you have AC throughout the year, but it basically isn't really, it's just like heat. So they flip it in sometimes September.
No, I know, but like, how warm does it have to get inside your apartment before you would turn it on?
Me, I'll turn it on at any point. I love the air. Like last night when I looked at the thermostat, it was 80. And I'm like, oh my God. So I got it down to 66 and I was like, oh.
Con Ed says I'm paying like $400 more than everybody else in my apartment. I got a thing in the mail.
Well worth it. Yeah. Well worth it. Now, Jake, you texted me this morning and I was happy you did because that's the big story. And I'm so happy to be here with both of you guys today because it's the Mets, back page of the New York Post, back page, kind of the Daily News. It's the New York Mets in every way, and it's Jake DeGrom. And this story, which started out as so Mets, has gotten even more Metsy, unbelievably enough. So it breaks this morning. We know he has the MRI last night. He went to the hospital special surgery today to do whatever other test they didn't tell you about. And they were going to check on Jake DeGrom's elbow. We had heard last night it was a hyperextension. The last pitcher to have a hyperextension of the elbow is former Met, J.J. Putz. He was out for 5 weeks. I distinctly remember this. He was the closer of Seattle at the time. And you hear hyperextension of the elbow, you immediately think, this guy is screwed. He's going to have Tommy John. We're done. I remember at the time I dropped J.J. Putz in fantasy baseball. And he came back 5 weeks later. I'm like, wait a minute. And he was fine the rest of the season, ultimately. So I remember talking to Jake. I talked to my BFFs last night. And I'm just like, you know what? If it's 5 weeks, like, I'm in. Like, that's awesome as a Jake DeGrom owner. As a Mets fan, I think you say you hear 5 weeks, he's back middle of June. I'm in. Fine. No big deal. We can get through another month. Fine. So then you wake up this morning, and the first report you see comes from the Daily News, and it's he's out four starts. It's awesome. 3 weeks? Okay. Best case scenario, you throw him on a 10-day DL, like, this worked out really, really well for Jake DeGrom. Literally, 5 seconds later, you get a tweet from Anthony DiComo, very good Mets beat reporter from MLB. He was the first to have the DeGrom news last night. DeGrom is expected to make his next schedule starting on Monday. I'm like, what? And I remember we had this conversation when it came to Cespedes last week. He hurts his thumb. He self-diagnoses himself. And all of a sudden, he's in the lineup the next night. And you're like, what the F are the Mets doing? Just moments later, following the Anthony DeComo tweet, there's the press release from the Mets. Jake DeGrom went to the hospital for special surgery. He has a strained hyperextended elbow, whatever. He's expected to be fine. He's scheduled to make his next start. He'll see if he's sore, throw a bullpen, whatever. He's good to go on Monday. And you're just like, the Mets are going to do this again. The Mets are going to do this again. Mickey Callaway comes out in a press conference. And he's like, yeah, he swung, hurt his elbow. Then he starts pitching. His biceps started hurting. And it just seems like it was just, some muscle tightness or cramping or something he has dealt with over the last however many weeks, starts, days, whatever. But he's fine to pitch on Monday. You guys, Matt, Jake, you are the Mets fans. You deal with this year in and year out, day in and day out with these players, and we say same old Mets, but it's a new regime. It's a new training staff. It's a new manager, a new pitching coach, a new everything except the Wilpons, obviously. And, of course, Sandy Alderson. How do you take this Jake DeGrom news right now?
I'm thinking it's Miyagi magic. They did the little, I don't know, if he's healthy, and say he does his throws tomorrow and all his preparations, and the guy checks out that he's not feeling any discomfort, are we just putting him on the DL to put him on the DL? I don't know. If there's any bit of, I think you just follow up to Monday. There's no guarantee that he has to start on Monday, and you see how it is. Just to say, you know what, we're going to put you on the DL, and you know what, it turns out he's fine. Doesn't sound like that. After last night, I was in tears a bit.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very, I'm really glad you brought that point up, because a lot of Met fans, after hearing this report that he's going to start on Monday, they're saying exactly what you just said. Put him on the DL, give him a break, and you take the position where it's like, if he's fine, let him do his job. He gets paid to pitch.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. He went to
a hospital special surgery.
So I'm going to think those are the best.
Right. Better than you and I, obviously.
If they're saying that there's no ligament damage, and he's saying, I've dealt with this. It just maybe it tightened up. I don't know.
Right.
So I would just play it cautious this week. You don't have to guarantee he's starting Monday.
Sure.
Maybe you push him back a couple days. Sure. Maybe you do DL him, but let's just see how it goes.
But you're saying if he's fine, he's fine.
I mean, if you put him on the DL, is he going to be better in 10 days?
I don't know. Jake, where are you on this? I know obviously where you were earlier this morning, where you were last night. Currently today at 1:10 p.m. Eastern time, where are you?
Don't trust anything. I don't trust the Mets. I don't trust the Mets. I don't trust the Mets. And this is the whole reason I haven't gotten on board and getting excited about this year. I've been sitting here saying, oh, it's nice. I have 17 wins or whatever, but it's never been, oh my God, this is a playoff team, just because I've been through it too many times. It's similar to Jets fans in football. Like, enough with punching me in the you-know-where every single year. I'm just going to go along for the ride. Whatever happens, happens. And you know this, I actually tweeted it out. I made an argument during On Target about this team is not built for the playoffs anyway, when you only have two starters in DeGrom and Syndergaard and question marks up and down the line behind them. Well, if you lose DeGrom for four starts for a month, the four starts was already the weird part about it to me anyway. Why four starts? Why not 10 days, a month, 4 weeks, 3 weeks? Like, what? Why is it the specific four starts? And this is just what I go back to. Yeah, sure, the doctor has cleared them. Sure, they're the specialist or whatever it is. It's still the Mets with medical. I do not trust them. If you want to put him on a 10-day DL and skip a start, I'm fine with that. I think it makes a lot of sense. Why force him out there? He's going to say he's going to want to pitch. We've been down this road with how many players before on this team. If he's out there and it is not 100% and he wants to try and pitch through it and it gets worse, now you just torpedoed your entire season, because you're already on slim, you're on thin ice with Syndergaard and DeGrom to start with. You lose one of those two and you're pretty much done.
See, I didn't think this was a playoff team heading into the season.
I know you didn't.
So I'm going to take whatever is gravy. If they did get into the playoffs and they do have Syndergaard and DeGrom,
yep,
they got a chance against anybody, because those two guys can win. And hopefully they've acquired somebody else, or somebody else has stepped up to be a plausible third pitcher.
Okay.
And the one thing I will differ, look, the medical staff in the past has been horrific. It's been the worst. I mean, it's like the guy that Trump had that said he was the healthiest guy, that wacko doctor or whoever. Thing is, this is the special surgery. This isn't like, you know, just the Mets coming out saying this. That's where I'm going to differ on. If he's healthy, I mean, I don't know. If he's going to get hurt in a month, he's going to get hurt in a month.
I agree. Listen, if he's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. It obviously happens. I want to be cautiously optimistic as the fantasy owner when it comes to Jake DeGrom. Because I have no choice. Like, ultimately, what am I going to do? I'm not the Mets fan, and I get that. And I completely understand your sentiment, Jake, because it's what every Mets fan that I've spoken to today feels the same way. Like, I don't trust a damn word they're saying. Inside Injuries, who we're going to talk to in about 10 minutes from now, they have their own belief when it comes to Jake DeGrom and how long he should be out for. We can certainly ask Virginia all of those questions when we talk to her. But to me, as the fantasy owner, I'm sitting here like, thank God. Like, I just dodged his monster bullet. I lost Corey Seager 3 days ago, and now I thought I lost Jake DeGrom last night. I feel very lucky today.
Yeah, I mean, but these are injuries are going to happen, number one. Like, I had,
yes,
I had the Cueto news the other day. Look, Cueto wasn't pitching to an 0.84 ERA or whatever he has. But three, like we said yesterday, if he pitches 350, 370 the rest of the way, that's, you know, for the innings he's going to give you, that's really good.
Sure.
So, you know, you got to hope for the best right now. There's nothing you can do. You're hoping for the best. I mean, and I'm just hoping that they've gone to the right medical people. That's what it sounds like to me. It's not like the Mets in-house making this diagnosis. They got a report from this hospital.
Well, see, that's why I don't trust it that much, because they can say his elbow is fine, but I don't know. Is it really somebody who can just say, hey, his elbow is clean and actually knows the difference between a clean elbow and the stress that he's going to put on it as a pitcher? Like, that, I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I don't know that they do. And, I mean, really, it comes down to, anyway, it's the Mets. Who knows what the situation is going to be if he is 100%. If he's anything less than 100%, I don't want to see him out there. Why rush the issue? Why do the Mets always try to rush everybody back all the time, every single year? And that's my biggest issue, let alone the fact, I mean, it comes down to the very first part about it. He did it swinging. This guy shouldn't even be at the plate to begin.
I won't even get into that. But I will say, he took himself out of the game.
Right.
So if he's not 100%, I don't think he's going to take the ball on Monday.
I hope not.
He said, I listened to his words this morning. You know, he said, I felt discomfort. I didn't think it was worth it to stay in the game. I could have continued to pitch, but I didn't think it was worth it. So this is a guy that had a surgery a year ago. It was more of a cleanup kind of surgery. Mm-hmm. But he had Tommy John in the past. So he knows what's going to happen if all things go bad. So I think he's going to take the proper precautions.
Jake, do you think it's possible, just hearing what Matt said, Jake DeGrom said last night, which I hadn't heard before, do you think it's just possible that he was scared? Right, like that he felt this tightness, and he's like, oh, my God. And everyone saw the clips of DeGrom, like, head in his hands, inside the dugout, headed toward the clubhouse, and he just got nervous. And ultimately, he sees the doctors, the MRI is clean. They send him to the hospital special surgery to, like, double clear him, basically, and it's clear there. Do you think, possibly, he just freaked out a little bit? He just got a little nervous.
That's certainly possible, but I also saw him grimace after he threw the mound, so right. I obviously was bothering him enough, as he said, to, you know, not want to push it or whatever. But it's still, like, we don't have a huge history of people hyperextending their elbow in baseball and then what they've been able to do afterwards. You brought up Putz and the fact that, like, he missed 5 weeks, so who knows if this is really something that should be the four starts, as they said, or it should be just throw him out there on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's the right here. It's different than last season with our Syndergaard. When he refused to take an MRI, and the Mets were just okay with that. He works for them. He has a contract with them, but, you know, that's another whole story right there. And like I said,
that was incredible.
Come Monday, you can still DL him. You can retroactive. There's no reason. I don't see the reason to just put him on the DL right now and say, we're just going to definitely DL him. We can still DL him.
Sure.
And he might say, you know what? I played catch. My elbows bother me a little. I'm not feeling so hot.
No, and then it's no big deal. You're out for a week or two, and maybe it's just a lot of these times with Jordan Montgomery, for instance, who has his own elbow sprain or strain or whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's just shut down for 2 weeks. There's no surgery. They're not doing anything. He's just resting. And maybe ultimately that is what Jacob DeGrom needs. I don't know. But I think that's what we're going to find out. And I think you're absolutely right. There is nothing stopping the Mets from putting DeGrom on the DL tomorrow, Sunday, even Monday. Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping
that. That's my point. That's what I want to get. I'm not saying don't put him on the DL. I'm saying wait till Monday.
Sure.
Or, you know,
you don't lose anything.
If he has catch tomorrow and he feels his comfort, you can say, you know what? We're just going to be extra cautious here now and put him on the DL.
And I think that's an obviously reasonable take. But if he's fine, he's fine.
But I get everybody with the doom and gloom. I'm out of the doom and gloom, too. I'm going to be honest.
When Cespedes was in that lineup, one day later, after he pronounced himself out for 3 days.
How great was all those diamonds flying around?
And they're down 3-0 already.
Well, that was quick. What happened?
Jason Vargas.
yep. 2-run home run to Kurt Suzuki after a RBI double by whoever was on base.
He's not upset with the Kurt Suzuki part.
I'll tell you. Look, it's Vargas. I was actually going to go to this game today.
Right.
And then I saw.
I have an obligation to be here. I couldn't.
Thursday, 1 o'clock. But then I saw it was Vargas pitching. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see Vargas.
An early good decision from Matt Modica.
Honestly, it would be too
hot. It's hot out, yeah.
92 degrees is. I don't want to be in the ballpark.
No bueno.
77.
Maybe 70.
Oh, yeah, I prefer 65, 70.
Like when I went to that game a couple of weeks ago, it was beautiful. It was like.
That was a game without Florio, right?
The game without Florio, yeah, indeed. So that was awesome. So that was really cool. When we come back, we're going to hear from Virginia. And Virginia's going to talk to us what inside injuries he believes to expect from Jacob DeGrom. And the crazy thing is, guys, I know we're in New York, so it's all New York-centric, but Hyunjin Ryu got hurt last night too, Jake.
Okay.
And the DH.
I thought maybe you'd have an opinion on that. Like, ah, Ryu's hurt!
Well, Ryu always gets hurt.
So do the Mets.
I mean, yeah, I know, but I'm saying, Hyunjin Ryu every year.
That's right. Why.
When he's on the mound, he pitches well. He's sure. Like Brandon McCauley. He's on the mound, he pitches well. And Ryu's had a 56% ground ball percentage.
Awesome.
With the strikeout.
The other big news from that is Walker Buehler's up and up to stay starting this weekend. So that'll be really cool.
Hey-ho!
I'm annoyed that I picked up Trevor Cahill instead of Walker Buehler a couple of weeks ago. It was a mistake by me. I admit it. All right, we'll come back. Virginia, inside injuries will join us, I think. Maybe it'll be Dr. Ray. I don't know. We'll find out when we come back.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends!
The issue with the Redskins cheerleader story, they were very clear the women weren't saying, nobody said you have to sleep with anybody, no one said we had to do anything other than escort the men. What they're saying is the threat was, if you said no, you're no longer a Washington cheerleader. I agree, that's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for the women that went there willingly for a free vacation, to do the photo shoot, and to hang out with random men, I don't see the problem.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards Program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Yeah, I know we're trying to call Virginia. Try Dr. A as well. I don't know which one's coming on, but call Dr. A, please. We're back live. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ranging out. So as I said, Hyunjin Ryu gets hurt last night along with Jacob DeGrom. And for the Mets, if DeGrom got hurt for a significant period of time, it was going to be, you think Matt Harvey probably being back in the rotation. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think Harvey's pissed everybody off now, too.
You think it'd be this Oswald dude.
Not Oswald. What's his
Oswald?
Name? Seawald?
I don't think it's Paul Seawald.
I think it's actually Seth Lugo that will go in. I've been saying
really?
He won the job. He won the rotation spot in camp. And I think he deserves a shot, too. Yeah. He's been pitching multiple innings, so it won't take much to start stretching.
I thought Mickey
Corey Calloway. Oswald?
Him. About? There it is. Oh, so it was Dr. I was right. Joining us now for the first time in months, it's Dr. A from Inside Injuries. What's up, Doc?
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well, Doc. It is a pleasure to see you. I'm going to be totally honest with you.
You were banned from the show as of last week.
You were banned from the show as of last week, number one. Number two, we called Virginia first.
I knew I was going to get some crap, but hey, I have a good excuse. I had spine surgery.
Oh, now you performed spine surgery or you had spine surgery?
No, I had spine surgery. I had a disc herniation at C6, C7 of my cervical spine that was pushing up against the nerve root on my left arm. So I had to get that repaired. So I had a complete disc replacement at 6-7. So I have a good excuse, right?
Well, hold on. I mean, that's the excuse, and I get it. But, like, what is your performance at right now? Like, what is the performance level? What is the injury risk here? That's the important question.
Well, the IRC is low because I don't plan on doing anything physically exerting.
Will this affect your golf game?
It will significantly affect my golf game. In fact, I don't really want to talk about that right now.
I'm sorry.
The performance, my healthy to return date is right on schedule, which is today. That's why I'm doing the show with you guys. And HPF is at peak health. So
peak. All right.
I like it. No setbacks.
He says he's peak. All of a sudden, he just says, ow, we got to go get Virginia from the other room. That's the important thing. I'm just saying. Doc, speaking of peak performance and guys that have been at their peak, that's Jacob DeGrom. He's been absolutely phenomenal this year for the New York Mets, as he kind of is every single year. Underratedly phenomenal. He doesn't have the pizzazz of a Noah Syndergaard. Doesn't have the personality of Matt Harvey. He just goes out and gets it done night in and night out. Last night, he takes himself out of the game after hurting or hyperextending his elbow on a swing. Comes out and pitches the next inning. Pulls himself out after that because he says he had soreness in his bicep. I don't know how those are related. I hope you answer that question. He leaves the game. Mets fans freak out, saying this dude's going to have Tommy John. We're screwed. Our lives are over. He goes for an MRI, comes back clean for his flexor muscle, goes to the hospital with special surgery here in New York City today. They say, you're totally clean. And the first report is he's out for 4 starts. The next report is he's going to pitch on Monday. A press release comes out. He's going to pitch on Monday. So now, all of us fantasy owners, all of us Met fans believe this guy is pitching on Monday. What the hell is going on with Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty all over the place. But, you know, a guy that's had the history of his arm issues, it's a good thing that he took himself out of the game. It looks like we're calling it a grade 1 hyperextended elbow. I mean, you could have some strain in the biceps tendon as well as the triceps and some of the musculature around there just because there's compensatory biomechanical type of functionality when you have a certain type of pitching motion. So I'm not surprised that he has biceps tendonitis as well. But here's the deal. If he pitches Monday, he should not do that. Our future return is May 16th. So he'll still need probably another 4 or 5 days of rehab and getting ready for throwing shape. So I would say the earliest he could come back is May 16th. There's no ulnar collateral ligament tear. There's no repeat of any of that. So that's good news. But they have to take him sensitively and not pitch him on Monday. May 16th right now is the date.
Okay, so that's really interesting.
From hearing that from Doc, now I'm like, okay, you know what? Give him the 10 days.
Right, because you put him...
You have him do a rehab start or something.
So ultimately, you put him on the DL. He said May 16th is the day, right? You put him on the DL for 10 days. 10 days from May 2nd when he got hurt would be May 12th. So let's say he comes back May 12th, May 13th. That's really close to May 16th. You're like, okay, fine. I can deal with that. Put him on the DL. Put him on the deal.
I mean, look, if Doc's given that, I'm gonna co-sign on that. How about that?
I'm with you, man. Just put him on the DL. He'll be back at peak performance in no time. And it's literally you're missing two starts. You're literally missing two starts. One double start week, and you come back and have a double start week the next week. Come on.
I have to correct you there. He will not be back into peak health. Our algorithm is above average.
Okay.
The best he can do is above average, which is okay, I think, for him. But this is early on in the season, and one of the biggest reasons why we had him at high injury risk through the whole year is because the durability is in question. So don't be surprised that in July or August he has another issue going on. So just that's why we have him at high injury risk.
So I will kind of go right back at you there, Doc. Because when we found out he got hurt last night and nobody really knew what it was at the time, I immediately thought back to you because we had a conversation back in March when he had this back injury. It was a minor back injury and he was ultimately ready for day two of the season. And we asked you how serious it was. And you're just like, listen, he's going to be fine for the start of the regular season. Like, he's doing everything right. Like, they took it very easy on him in spring training. But you don't like him as somebody you would draft on your fantasy team, because when you have a back injury like this, it recurs. It's something that goes away and comes back. It's manageable, but it's something you have to manage in general. So my first thought was the back injury that recurred last night, that maybe he hurt himself on the swing and pulled his back out, or he had a bad pitch and he pulled his back out. So when I heard the elbow, my first thought was, now it's the back, now it's an elbow and an arm, and now it's kind of all piling up for Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I mean, this is the starting symptom of what we are about to see this year. You know, in 2016, he had ulnar nerve surgery, had forearm strain, he had rotator cuff tendonitis all on the throwing arm. He had a relatively okay 2017 with that arm. But this is the first indicator of what may be coming down the pipe. I'm glad that he pulled himself out. That'll be his best bet for having durability through the season and not pushing through a throwing arm injury and coming back too early. So we'll see, but we have him listed, the inside injuries team, at May 16th, but he will only get back to above average, and he's at high injury risk for the rest of the year. So be on the lookout for a replacement just in case DeGrom goes down.
Final question on Jacob DeGrom. Doc, does Virginia agree with everything you said?
Yes, Virginia agrees with everything. But she may just be saying that because, you know.
Just want to make sure. Maddie?
And, you know, she's the smarter one, right? Yeah, I want you guys to understand that.
Oh, we know it. We've talked to her for the last 2 months. We got it. Doc?
Hey, let's stay with the pitchers here. Another guy who's going to get multiple opinions. I know we're going to see Dr. James Andrews as well. Johnny Cueto. I heard, as if it was the manager, Bruce Bochy, somebody saying that he's been dealing with some discomfort in the elbow for the last couple of starts. I know you haven't had a chance to examine him, but what is your take right now?
So believe it or not, this thing is just an elbow inflammatory process, just soft tissue, nothing deep. The biggest issue with Johnny Cueto is his durability again. I mean, we've said this over and over again about him, that he just has too much of a history to not be, you know, out of the lineup for a long period of time. He's going to be out of the lineup this year for a long period of time. High injury risk, will not get past above average on his HBF. His healthy to return day right now is maybe the 6th, so literally in two or 3 days.
All right.
But, you know, his injury risk still remains high. However, this particular injury, he should be back on May 6th. If he's not, and if it's May 10th and May 12th and he's still not back onto the field, you guys have to worry about something deeper and something more serious that the team is just not telling us.
I thought this was an imposter for a second because he was getting really positive.
Really positive.
And I was like, who's this Dr. Ed?
What is going on? That was way too positive for Johnny Cueto at first.
Yeah, I was getting excited.
You know, it's crazy because we'll keep the pitchers going here because, Doc, it's Johnny Cueto, it was Jacob DeGrom, and before that, it was just Jordan Montgomery, who lasted 7 pitches in a game for the Yankees just a couple of nights ago. They're going to shut him down for a few weeks. They're revving back up. What is the story with Jordan Montgomery, and how soon will he be back?
So the good news is that he's got a grade 2 left elbow strain.
Okay.
This is good because it's not a partial tear. It looks like it's just inflammation, and obviously it's in his throwing extremity, so it has to be dealt with, you know, sort of very sensitive type of treatment. Right now, our healthy to return date is May the 22nd. And so if it's just a strain, it should have enough time to heal with the appropriate rehab to get back onto the rotation on May the 22nd.
Well, that's really interesting because the Yankees, I know they were shutting him down for 2 weeks at least. Then they were going to rev him back up. We had heard anywhere from a month to 2 months. So Doc's saying he could be back on the mound May 22nd. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, if it is a grade 2 flexor strain, which is from all of our sources and what we're pulling, mm-hmm. is that's what it is. It's not anything more severe than that. Then yes, May 22nd, he should be medically cleared. Now, it could take him longer if when he starts going through his reps again, he takes a little bit longer than that. But certainly from a medical standpoint, May 22nd is the date.
Okay, so let's continue on with the pitching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going here. Let's roll it out. Robbie Ray, I actually saw the injury on Sunday. I was eating some delicious vodka pie, pan pie, nonetheless, which was quite delicious. But I seen him, they showed you, he winced on the pitch before that, and then the very next pitch, you could see the pain. I believe they said grade 2 oblique. How long should he be out?
Okay, so typically when pitchers get an oblique strain, that's a significant source of power loss if they're trying to pitch through that. However, it looks like he has a grade 2 oblique strain and not a grade 3. So typically when they say pitchers miss 6 to 12 weeks because of this, looks like his healthy to return date from a medical standpoint is June 3rd. And so it's about 5 weeks away. So he was at low and peak before. He got into elevated injury risk and below average HPF. But if he rests for 5 weeks, we anticipate those numbers getting back down into peak health. So it's about 5 weeks away, in our opinion, for June 3rd. It could be 6 based on what his timetable is like for rehab. But right now it's June 3rd.
And that's kind of what we have thought, too. Ultimately, these obliques do take around 5 weeks. That is about 5 weeks. So June 3rd makes a ton of sense to me. And that's what Dr. Ray from Inside Injuries is saying. He joins the program right now here in Virginia. The team from Inside Injuries join us each and every week at this time. And, Doc, I'm going to keep it going with the pitchers. And last night, I said it before, Jacob deGrom wasn't the only starter to get hurt. Hyunjin Ryu, who is always hurt, got hurt for the Dodgers. He's had a fantastic ground ball rate, as Matt pointed out earlier. The strikeout rate's been up for him also. He's been really, really good. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, so he has, I've invented a new word. It's called quadrifecta.
Okay.
So he had the shoulder in 15, he had the elbow in 16, and he had the foot contusion in 17, and now he's got the groin in 18. So he has pretty mild to significant injuries every single year for the last 4 years. That's why he was elevated injury risk before the season. This is a grade 1 groin, so it's not a severe sprain or there's no partial tear or anything like that. So it looks like the healthy to return is May 16th, so about 2 weeks, but he won't get back into low injury risk. He'll stay at elevated. I would caution fantasy owners to start looking for a replacement because this won't be his first injury. Even if he comes back in 2 weeks, expect over the next several weeks that he may pick up another injury or recurrence of this injury.
So basically, Matt, what you and I were both saying, a guy that's always injured, probably going to be always injured.
Yeah, that's why you got him where you got him, like in the late reserve rounds and stuff. He's a better pitcher than a reserve round pitcher. But, Doc, a guy that I really like, I have some shares of, I need to come through for me, is Yon Moncada. Mm-hmm. And I know earlier in the game he fouled the ball off his foot, and then late in the game he's sliding into third base. I didn't see it. I was listening to him on the radio. I don't know if he hurt his foot or is it his groin that I'm hearing now?
No, it's a mild hamstring.
Okay.
I don't think it's his groin and really not a foot issue. And his healthy to return is May 9th. This is it's a minor tweak of his hamstring. And so really the optimal recovery time is 1 week. And, you know, so we're looking at May 9th from a healthy to return. Now, the only issue is that he's a second baseman. So when he makes that pivot for a second base, for a double play, there is a potential increased risk of him tweaking that again. But, you know, his metrics didn't really change much. He's at elevated injury risk, on the border of low injury risk, and he's at below average right now, but he will escalate back up to above average once this 1 week goes.
That makes you feel good. That makes you feel good.
Yeah, no, it's hopefully not as bad.
Talking about Hyunjin Ryu a moment ago, Doc, and we heard, listen, he has a litany of injuries. He's always injured. He's always going to be injured or have a high risk of getting injured. That's how I feel about Adam Eaton, too. He's always injured. He has a high risk of getting injured. And now that he's hurt, he's never coming back. That's what it feels like.
Well, actually...
You're right. He's not.
It's actually the opposite with him a little bit, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how aggregated data works? So injured on April 8th. So first of all, his injury is a grade 2 left ankle bone bruise. So it's not fractured. There's no stress fracture, which is a good thing. He was injured on April the 8th. And right now, believe it or not, the healthy to return date, if he was injured on April the 8th for sure, is today.
Well, okay. He's not healthy.
All right. But he's not healthy completely. He still needs a few more weeks, probably, from a rehab standpoint. I know he was shut down this week because the ankle wasn't improving. So the biggest issue with him is that we may hear an announcement from the team that his bone bruise is not healing. And so he needs further time to recover from this injury. But here's the other thing. Tore his left ACL and meniscus and suffered a high ankle sprain in early of 2017, which ended his season. That's his injury history. Ryu's injury history goes back 4 or 5 years. And so he has a lot bigger resume, Ryu does, than Eaton does. So he started the season in low injury risk and peak health. This injury has elevated him to 16%. And so it's very close to the low injury risk threshold. So if he just rests, we readjust his healthy to return probably to mid-May or end of May, he should come back completely healed and get back into low and peak designation.
There you go. It's Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Give me a lot more positivity, Matt, than I'm used to, to be honest with you.
Yes, I agree.
A lot more positivity than I'm used
Feel
to.
Better, Doc.
Feel better, Doc. Thanks, we're rooting for you. Tell Virginia Hire us for us, too. Yes.
I will.
Awesome. All right, we'll take a break. Jake Seeley rejoin the program, and we'll keep hanging out, talking some baseball with you. Stick around. More on the way.
Game time decisions.
John Gotti gets life in prison, all right? You're going to jail for the rest of your life. So he leaves the courtroom, and he's in cuffs, and he's in the elevator. And they're taking him, like, to the van type thing, and he knows he's never going to be a free man ever again. And he looks over at the guard, and he goes, you know, all I wanted was a good tuna salad sandwich. He used to send his stooges out to find the sandwich, and they'd come back, like, with multiple tuna salad sandwiches every day.
Never got it right.
He never found the one that he liked.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Thanks. I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, yes.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
We're talking trash.
You believe these trash bozos?
I like Donovan Mitchell. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year award. Is that correct?
Ben Simmons is going to win.
Ben Simmons is not a rookie.
But how is he not a rookie?
Wasn't he drafted 2 years ago?
Yes.
So how is he a rookie this year?
He never played a game the first year.
Does that count?
If it was baseball, would you ask this question?
Baseball is different.
In baseball, there's minor leagues, right? In basketball, there is minor leagues.
The G League thing? That's not an official minor league thing. It is?
Yeah, it is.
Weekday, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Back here with you, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Pretty good information there from Dr. A, gentlemen. Very good.
That it was.
A lot of positivity. A lot of positivity.
A new Dr. A has emerged.
You have back surgery, you're a lot more positive. Jay, maybe you need back surgery.
No.
Just trying to get the positivity up. Whatever. Last night, Jimmy Paxton. How about that outing, huh? 15, 16 strikeouts, whatever it was. He was outstanding last night. So outstanding, he didn't even get a win.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. Because I tweeted out this morning, 7 starts by Randy Johnson when he struck out 17 or more batters, and he won 3 games. And this has been going on through the history of baseball, where pitchers have lost 1-0 games, you know, 2-1 games. You know, look, the minute he got pulled, you had to feel that this was going to turn on them. And that's
what happened. Of course. Jake, nothing? James Paxton?
No. What more do you want me to say?
I don't know.
He was terrific. Like, okay, he was terrific. He struck out 6, whatever. He was great. The end. Like, what is there to say?
I mean, there's something to say, like, obviously this is the James Paxton that we've always wanted, that we've seen. Is it sustainable? I don't know.
Then ask the question.
I'm asking the question.
What is the question?
Matt, let's
move
on.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked last night.
Please do. I appreciate that.
I saw earlier in the year on Twitter, like, when he had he opened up with a bad start in the first couple.
Six runs.
And I remember seeing some people. I'm not going to name names here. I'm not going to play that game. But, oh, I'm so happy. Let it all happen. I have no Paxton and all that. Those people were awful quiet last night. I didn't hear any chirping going on, you know. The trolls ran away and all that. So, look, it was good to see. It's good. You want to see this from Paxton. Because, you know, when he's at optimal health, he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah. He has the ability to be. James Paxton, going forward for you, Jake, what is he? What can you count on him as?
The same as what he was before. Okay. Still top 20 pitcher. Okay. Just went through this tough stretch. And whether or not that was what happens to a lot of pitchers is the dead arm phase in April, whatever it may be. It just bad stretch of baseball out there. Not everybody's Clayton Kershaw. There's a reason that there's the Clayton Kershaws and the Bumgarners and Syndergaards and Sales, and those guys are at the top 5 of the list. The rest of these guys, like, you go down, James Paxton, you know, Quintana before this year was in this conversation, but these guys are going to have 3 or 4 rough starts. Sometimes they're grouped together.
Yeah, and to Jake's point, like, guys like Bundy and Berrios, like Berrios went like 5-6 rounds ahead of Bundy, and they both, in their last couple of starts, have slid back. But a guy like Bundy right now has like a 3.75-ish ERA. He's got 48 strikeouts, I believe, in 40 innings. So, I mean, that's good. That's actually really good.
Sure.
And Jose Berrios, too, he had a couple of bad starts. I didn't think Berrios was going to be, you know, a 2.50 ERA guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's going to be good.
Sure.
But, you know, that's why you can't give the breakout after week 1, 2 starts.
You can't do it, and you can't do it either way, as we saw with James Paxton, and as you're seeing with Berrios also. And I think the same could be said for my guy, Jake Junis, right? Where it's like, he's been pretty good, but if you look at some of these underlying numbers, they're not nearly as good. I mean, they're just not. And unfortunately, I'm kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop with Junis, Jake.
I wouldn't be looking for it too much. He's somebody who gets away with not having to have the strikeouts. He's not going to be a 2-something ERA pitcher, but Junis is for real. I wrote about him like 2-3 weeks ago on Roto Experts. You know how this going into the preseason. I had more faith in him than I did Feria.
So, I know you did.
I'm a Junis supporter.
Okay, so there you go, Junis supporter.
Yeah, and even the guys that have really crushed it this month, like Manaea. I hope Manaea has this unbelievable year where he's 90% left on base and a 210 BABIP. But right now it's 150 and it's 98%. There's going to be some pullback here. It might not happen this start, But it will come for him. It comes for everybody.
Of course.
And the same with Corbin.
Of course. And unfortunately so, with Patrick Corbin giving out a good he is. Great pitching matchup today, gentlemen, between Patrick Corbin and Alex Wood. Alex Wood, a guy that's kind of on the other side of this. And I like Alex Wood a lot going forward. Some of the metrics say that he could be even better than he has been, Jake.
Yeah, Alex Wood is definitely somebody who's been better, but it's also somebody who's got a huge injury concern.
Absolutely.
And he's going to go down. Vegas, as what's going on so far, they definitely are on board with both of them because it's the over-under in this game is 7.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
And it should be, you know, you got to watch out. I mean, A.J. Pollock is just so hot, though. He's just
scorching. 10 home runs on the season now.
10 homers. How many stolen bases has he got?
6, I believe.
Yes. I think he might have gotten 7.
He might have gotten 7. Yeah. All right. So that's how good A.J. Pollock has been. And listen, the thing with Pollock, I'm glad you bring him up, Matt. We knew he was this good. Like, we knew he had this talent. It was just his ability to stay healthy. A.J. Pollock was a guy a year or two ago. You're taking him at the end of the first round, early in the second, and you're like, this could be the breakout guy. And now this year, a lot of nerves due to those injuries. And he's amazing.
Well, I mean, look, people are going to say, oh, sell him high. I mean, it depends on what you're selling him for.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to ride this out. Look, there's a very good chance he gets hurt again.
Probably so. Yep.
That's been A.J. Pollock. But I'm not going to turn away a guy that's got 10 homers. He's almost... You know, 7 stolen bases. And we always known, you know, he's a really good hitter. He's got very good plate skills. So, unless I got blown away, I would not sell high.
I agree. Jake, should you sell high on A.J. Pollock right now?
Only if you're going to get what A.J. Pollock is. And that is more than what you paid for him in drafts.
Yeah.
I have him on one of my teams. I got him in the 3rd or the 4th round. I don't remember exactly. The 15th, the labor team, which is just doing awful. Don't look at that team. But
we
Pollock team in and of itself, yeah, I think he was 4th round because I went Syndergaard in the 3rd. It was Stanton, Judge, Syndergaard, Pollock. But Pollock in the 4th round, the way he's playing, he's back to what I said at that time at the draft we discussed on the show. He has 2nd round value talent. That's what he's producing right now. So if somebody's going to give you that, and it also helps fill a need somewhere, absolutely, because you're doing it just because you know he's always seemingly getting hurt every year. But unless you're getting that, there's no reason.
And I completely agree.
Well, at least, Jake, you didn't make that trade where you were getting Robbie Ray, right?
No, I didn't. I kept hesitating at all of them to give away Judge, and I didn't make that one.
So that worked that well.
Some of the trades you don't make are the best trades.
I was proposed a trade today, and I know we'll probably say it depends what your team needs, but I was proposed a trade today. I won't tell you what side I'm on. Nick Castellanos for Alex Wood. What side of the trade do you want to be on that?
It's pretty much if I Alex Wood, you know how much I loved him last year.
I do.
I'm just skeptical. I believe if he can stay healthy, I don't know if he can. I'm skeptical of his health.
Yeah.
That's why I try to get Walker Buehler on every team I possibly could.
Right.
Because it was not just Wood, it's Ryu, it's you know, it's pretty much everybody, even Kershaw, but
sure.
Kershaw, mm-hmm. Even Rich Hill, as much as I love him.
Absolutely.
So I mean, if I needed a pitcher, I think that's totally fair.
Okay.
Otherwise, if I need the bat, I'm fine to do that as well.
I think you might
be able to get even a little more than right now, Nick Castellanos.
You think you can get more for Nick Castellanos or more for Alex Wood?
I mean, if you were giving up Wood right now,
yeah.
You have a smart player
that
says, you know what, look, all pitchers are injury prone and sees the advanced skills that he's showing, you might be able to. But I like Castellanos. Third base eligibility, outfield.
Yep, 100%. Jake, which side of that trade do you want to be on?
Here, give me a second.
Yeah, no problem. Take your time.
Would be heads for Castellanos. So there you go.
I
think last year is probably the peak of Castellanos.
Okay. So you're saying,
I think it's definitely.
What was that line you said? Because I didn't hear that.
The line.
You said something for Castellanos.
Oh, I know. I flipped the coin. I said, I guess heads is Castellanos.
Oh, okay. That was it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure you flipped the coin.
Yeah. Right. I think even.
It's even. Okay. All right. So I'm the Castellanos owner, and the Alex Wood owner proposed that to me. And I was like, I don't know. So I did this. So the reason that I proposed was like, I went to him. I was like, listen, I'm an Alex Wood. He goes, I need a hitter. What about Castellanos? I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty fair offer. Like,
what's your third baseman?
I actually use him in the outfield. And oh, okay. I needed, the reason I did that was because I thought I was like losing DeGrom. I thought I was losing DeGrom for a month. I was like, I need somebody. Not that Alex Wood's the safest thing in the world. Let me see what I can get for Alex Wood. And he proposed Castellanos. I'm like, wow, That's fair. So I wanted to ask you guys about that. I wasn't really sure where we are with that. After that conversation, let's shut down YouTube. Let's shut down all the digital properties. We got the BFFs coming up next. We got more fantasy feud coming your way there between Frank and Mike. We did a lot of hitters with April being over. A lot of the hitters categories, advanced, not advanced, we've done. Today, we're getting into some of the pitching. Certainly, we'll hear from Florio in regards to Jacob DeGrom. Also, we want to talk about Clayton Kershaw today on the program. Kenley Jansen as well. So look for that. BFFs come your way in about 10 minutes or so from now. We'll say goodbye to digital. We'll be here live on the Fantasy Sports Television Network as well as the Fantasy Sports Radio Network up until the top of the hour. What's going on in baseball right now, Jake? I know we got a couple of games going on.
I'm not watching any of a couple of games. I'm just watching the Braves and the Mets.
Yeah, it's 3-0 Braves. 3-0 and 0-0 Pittsburgh, Washington.
All right, so 3-0 there.
What's going on? Up the rest of the scores for you.
I will say this, and there's a guy down there running the Anycast that's going to want to hop on for this. Through two innings, Julio Teheran is not allowed to hit, Jake.
Yeah, and?
It's now through two and a third innings.
This is the third game in a row. Bryce Harper's let off.
The person running the Anycast downstairs, do you have a feeling?
No hitter?
Do you have a feeling on Julio Teheran?
Do I have a feeling on him?
Well, yes, today, in today's game.
I mean, he looks great. I mean, he is facing the Mets, so let's take it with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Easy.
But I do like, he's been pretty decent this year. I don't know his full stats. Has he had really bad games at all so far?
Yeah, he has. He lasted a whole three innings against the Phillies last time.
So he had one bad game.
No, he didn't. He's had like three or four good games. He had a 4.5 ERA going to this game.
He had three or four solid starts. I never said he's a number one, two, or three SP on my roster. I said he's a good SP four or five, and he is. Right?
No, he's not.
Modica?
He's been pretty bad the last couple of years. Last year and this year, he's been, no bueno, as they like to say.
He's got a 1.3 whip and a 4.5 ERA. That is not a four or five. That's your bench.
Well, it depends. I mean, look at Danny Duffy right now. Are you going to drop him? Would you drop Danny Duffy?
He's
doing horrible.
If my car has out of gas, am I going to go fill it up? What if these things don't relate?
But like Duffy is a guy that you would normally say is what? An SP4 or 5,
right? What does Duffy have to do with this?
Because you still hold on to this guy because he still might have good starts throughout the season. You'd still plug him in maybe later on.
Did I say drop Teheran? Did I say that?
You say he's trash.
You do say that.
Yeah, I don't even know how this thing happened, but I was just.
And you also say Arrieta's trash, even though he did get shelled last start.
Arrieta's been good for the most part.
For the most part, yeah.
And you notice I didn't bring that up to you because one start doesn't mean anything. Like you and your, oh my God, look at Arrieta after one start.
Right, but three starts have been really good before that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. I don't even want to jump
in.
The other one start?
Let me throw this out.
Hey, guess what? It's 90 degrees today. That means it's been unbelievably hot the entire year.
let me throw this out because Venture brought it up. I want to actually ask both of you guys. Danny Duffy has been trash. Can you drop Danny Duffy? In all honesty, seriously.
In a 12-team league, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
In a 15-team league, I think it's a little tough because what's out there
is brutal.
It's brutal. I was a big Duffy guy a couple of years ago. This year, I don't have any. Okay. I mean, I root for him, except for yesterday, because I had on my main event team, my solo one, I got Betts and JD Martinez. So I was kind of enjoying that one yesterday.
You had a nice day yesterday.
That was a lot of fun, I got to say. Unfortunately, I hit like seven homers and I had eight RBIs. I was like, how the hell is that?
What's going on, Jake?
Just tried the drag butt for the first hit.
Who did?
Marcus.
A drag punt?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but the third inning, I don't have a problem with
it. No, I think it's funny.
Let's go talking Mets and Braves. Look, last night.
Three no-hit innings, baby.
Hey, start him every time out. Do it. Don't ever bench him. I don't want to ever hear about you benching him in your league, ever.
Okay, but let's talk about an emerging star, possibly, on the horizon. Last night's starter for the Braves. Look, this is – he's still got a lot to prove.
Is that Sean Newcomb was our last night?
Sean Newcomb. I mean, look at the last five starts. He's basically got like a 30% strikeout rate. The walks are getting better. That first start of the season, after that, the last five have been really good. He's going to have some more control problem games. He's a young pitcher. But we mentioned yesterday, Jake really liked him, Nando likes him. And the Mets versus left-handed, I think they're dead last – OPS.
Let me throw this out at you, Jake. I know we talked a lot about it, especially the week or two before the season began. So I'm going to ask you again. Would you rather have, going forward the rest of the season, Jake Junis or Sean Newcomb?
Same.
Same.
Sean Newcomb.
Okay, so it's still Newcomb for you. Yeah.
I'll go back to what I said at the time. Top 25 starter potential if he can get the walks under and get his control under control. And he's starting to do that, as we've seen. But also the fact is, you talk about the Mets in general, as much as it's funny to hear Chris say that, it's true. So they actually flashed a graphic for the game. Teheran's got like a 2.1 something ERA against this team in his career.
Right.
The facing, they mentioned it against Soroka 2 days ago. The broadcasters did, I think it was Ron who brought it up. Against first-time pitchers, their team batting average was like 200, and they have the opposing pitchers have like a 2-something ERA. This team's just always been terrible against first-time pitchers.
Yeah, but I'm going to – when I, like I said, last time when I broke down those five starts too, I remember I watched the game at Coors Field. He pitched really well. I think he might have given up a run. And if it's between him or Junis, I'm taking Newcomb every time. Just because, look, Junis is probably, you know, the more safer thing, but the better team, number one. This is looking like a really good Braves team, a really fun team to watch, a lot of offense. This kid's got the strikeouts, we know that. So if this correction with control is happening, this could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be
I mean, like Matt Boyd Junis is a good comp. I'd go Junis in that one.
I would too. You know, I use Junis because I own him everywhere. I think literally in every one of my teams, for some reason, I own Jake Junis. And I looked into some of his numbers today, and I got nervous. And that's why I brought him up a couple times.
But you got to keep rolling him out there, like the 15-teamers. Like, Matt Boyd's been on my bench for most of the year. And, like, this week, finally rolled him out. And I'm like, I was terrified. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm waiting for everything he did good so far this year that I didn't get. He's going to have that, like, Matt Moore start, like, from yesterday.
We left, we actually left Junis on the bench this week for the start against Boston. And that was a mistake. Because he pitched well. So.
It's Boston. I would have left him on the bench, too.
Yeah, what are you going to do? We got about a minute remaining.
Nick Tropiano to the DL with the right shoulder.
Big Nicky T got hurt?
Big Nicky T.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so.
That last night?
No, it was reported yesterday.
I missed that.
Me and Florio discussed it.
Oh, I feel terrible. I didn't text Florio.
Dave Roberts for you, too, Greg. He actually officially gave you the Walker Buehler's officially in the rotation as a fixture.
I am so stupid.
Go Dodgers!
There you go. Go Dodgers. Walker Buehler, a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers rotation. This will be fun. Remember, one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. For Jake Seeley, the All-NBs, I want to thank Dr. Ray for joining us, too. And obviously, for Matt Modica of CTN Baseball, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching. The BFFs are up next. Have a fantastic afternoon, everybody.